Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Loving everyone is tough. Some people are just hard to love. You might be thinking of others, and you probably should be thinking of yourself. Sometimes it's just hard for us to feel like loving. And as Christians, that is true about our love of God and our love for our neighbor, our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Jesus once said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind," quoting from Deuteronomy. He also said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," quoting from Numbers 19. Both words for love in those verses, the Old Testament in Hebrew, are the same. And the Greek text also uses the same word when quoting Jesus. And in the Greek, the meaning is that of agape love. That is love that is unconditional, no strings attached. It's a love that is not deserved. St. Paul says that kind of love always seeks the best for the one who is loved. But such love is not to be impacted by our Americanized perspective on love. Too many people think that love today means always being nice, no matter what. No words of truth are permitted to be spoken. No words of opposition allowed. It doesn't take long looking out and about in the world to see that tolerance is the foundation stone of today's love. They go hand in hand. Tolerance and love today. Love and truth, however, seem to be bitter enemies. God's word on love, as Jesus has spoken and as St. Paul understood, never lend to that idea. Rather, it is out of love that the truth is spoken. Within the confines of unconditional love, that agape love, that is where we are to speak the truth to one another in that love. And so one of the greatest shows of love is holding on to that truth and speaking that truth together. Jesus had to do this with the Pharisees in his midst. They needed to hear the truth of God's love. And within the boundaries of Christ's great love for them, he laid out the truth for them to hear. The Pharisees did not know what hit them, but they should have. For Jesus was on a roll at that time in his ministry. He had entered into Jerusalem triumphantly on the back of the donkey, to the cheers of the great crowds of his followers. And he was proclaiming his kingdom openly in the midst of all the people, including the scribes and the Pharisees. And the sick were healed at the command of the Savior who sought to dwell in his temple. Jesus, Matthew 22, had just finished schooling the Sadducees about marriage and the resurrection. They could not stump him. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. Not a good plan to test Jesus. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Have you ever stopped to wonder what answer that lawyer was expecting? Do not murder. Do not steal. You shall have no other gods. Was it more along the lines of those hundreds of man-made laws that he and the Pharisees were hoping to hear? Trying to trap Jesus, to trip him up in his own words, the expert in the law must have been hoping for Jesus to give an answer that would contradict everything Jesus was saying and doing. Jesus sees the opportunity to give the self-righteous Pharisee a dose of his own medicine. And all those Pharisees gathered at that point. If you want to play the self-righteous game, then you're going to have to play it all the way, Jesus says. For it's all or nothing when it comes to keeping God's law. If that is your hope for righteousness, your hope for salvation. It also come quite clear that the Pharisees only considered their fellow experts in the law, their fellow Jews, the pious ones, as their neighbor. But perfect love, that agape love, required care and assistance to all those gathered around. No exceptions. Jesus puts forth as the great command, the summary of the first table of God's law, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is perfection. This is holiness. God requires and expects all mankind to love Him with everything that they are. To love God with anything less than all of your heart, soul, mind is failure. Smallest of sin ruins it all. For all is all. One bit less, one bit, and it is no longer all. And God knows it. He does not loosen up on His expectations because of our failures. He does not sweep our past sins under the rug and pretend they never happened. Rather, in true love for all of His people, He puts all sin out for all to see. And He hung them squarely on His only begotten Son. God's perfect justice needs perfect payment. Such payment cannot be perfect, cannot be whole if the full price is unknown, if any sins are withheld. While the idea of loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind is just abstract enough to think, or at least to allow you to think that you might be doing an okay job keeping that commandment, the second commandment Jesus lists is not that way. It's not abstract at all. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus taught that your neighbor is anyone in your life. Those you know well, and those you have only seen once or twice. Have you treated them as well as you treat yourself? Are they at the same level as you are, socially, financially, spiritually? It takes only an instant to realize our failure to keep that commandment. Such selflessness is impossible in sinful human beings. Such sacrifice for the well-being of others is non-existent without God's help. And in our sin, we even shove that help aside. How far the Pharisees had missed the mark. How far have you and I missed the mark. As he had done before, Jesus proclaimed the law to his immediate hearers with a very specific point, laser focus, to leave them not feeling good, not with hope, but hurt, broken, crushed, in despair. Today's love for each other shudders at such treatment and declares such love as hatred. Still, Jesus' purpose for his hearers is to show them the futility, the pointlessness, the worthlessness of having any hope from yourself within your being. For salvation, forgiveness, grace, mercy, peace, joy cannot be found in you or in me. It does not start with you or me. It never has. It never will. It always begins with God. Only He can pour it into your heart, into your soul, into your mind. Only He can grant it to you when you lie dead in your trespasses and sins, broken, emptied, despaired. And He does that. He pours that into you so overwhelmingly in Jesus. The preaching of His gospel, the giving of His sacraments. Jesus Christ descended from heaven and joined with us in our humanity. He joined with our pettiness, our arrogance, our hatred, our insolence. Even in such dreadful conditions, Jesus did what none of us could do. He loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. He loved his neighbor, every single one of them, as he loved himself. The perfect picture of this, of Jesus fulfilling this, is his life filled, then lifeless body hanging on the cross. By His wounds, we are healed. By His sacrifice, we are saved. By His obedience, are we made righteous. As sinners, we are all impossible to love by a just God. But our God is also love, true love. And He has loved us so much that He gave us Jesus. He gave Himself for us, for our salvation from sin. And we are called to share that love with others, the love that knows our sinfulness and confesses it willingly to Jesus. In Jesus. But that calling is tough. For it is tough to love God with everything and to love our neighbors as ourselves, even now as His redeemed people. But thanks be to God that Jesus has done that perfect loving for you. And now you are free to go and do likewise. Thanks be to God that He loves you and shows you that love in Jesus, your Savior, your friend, your Lord, crucified, resurrected for you. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts, your minds in Jesus. Amen.